This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Hello there. Welcome to our weekend. Jim Brown here on the Common Sense Show. Sure glad you're joining us, and I hope your weekend is going well. I'm here with Rhonda Gray, a nationally renowned author, who you can find all about on our website at RadioCommonSense.com. Rhonda, how's your weekend going?
It's going great so far. Lots of news. I can't wait for us to get started and tell our listeners all about what we're thinking.
Well, I don't know. There's not much. I've some few local elections coming up. Not much controversy. Good guys, you're right. The roof has come off, and we're going to talk about it all today. But, Ron, I've got to ask you now, starting off on the show. You were gone a couple of weeks ago. Leo and I filled in for you. You took off for 3 or 4 days. You're a little hazy about where you went. And my spies tell me you took a little trip, and you ended up in South Carolina. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, somebody wins $1.6 billion from South Carolina. Now, look, just between us, and we've got a very close-knit group of listeners. They're not going to tell anybody. They're not going to tell anybody. We've got, I think, 5 stations in South Carolina. They're not going to tell anybody. Tell us, did you win the $1.6 billion? Tell us.
I wish I had. I had so many plans to share it with the Common Sense Radio team here, and I was going to really take care of everyone. But I'm afraid that when I got my 4 Powerball Mega Millions tickets out and checked all these numbers, I didn't have a single number that matched.
Not a one.
I was out of the first number was called out, and it was just a sigh.
Well, you sat there and actually watched.
I really thought I had it.
Sure. Odds are 1 in 305 billion or rather million or something like that. And I think someone told me the odds are better you're going to get eaten by a shark than to win the lottery.
Or crushed by a meteor. Or crushed by a meteor.
Take your choice. Well, congrats to the little old lady who's in South Carolina, raised her kids, kind of got a quiet life, piddles in her garden, and, goes out to get the paper each day, checks the one ads to kind of for a little special sales because she's trying to save money. You know, she's on a little pension, got Social Security, and all of a sudden someone says, "Hey, Myrtle, you just won $1.5 billion.
Or it's someone, close to retirement, and they're kind of, for a few days, not sure if they'll really go ahead and retire or maybe, wait. And then the reality sets in, and they decide to retire. But, yeah.
And this probably will not be the case, but if I won that much money, at my age, I'm a little older, I would want to set up a little trust for my grandkids, want to get them all educated. I've got nieces and nephews I'd want to educate, want to be sure my kids are all well off. But I'm not sure it would change it. When I say that, now, I say it wouldn't change my lifestyle that much, but I don't think it really would. I honestly don't think it would. I'd trade in my 7-year-old SUV and get me a good car. And I always like to have a few horses. I had some horses. As you remember, back in the 80s, I had about 4 or 5 quarter horses.
You're a big polo player.
Well, I was way back, and it kind of broke even on it. It didn't cost me much. I like to have a few horses I'd like to have. And, I'd probably I kind of mooch off some friends off a beach house over in Florida. I might get me a little beach house, but I just don't really honestly think it would change my life that much. I guess my big problem to be how to protect the interest of my family so that no one would make threats or take advantage or make undue pressures and not get hounded. That would be the biggest concern.
Well, as you recall, we had a guest on just a couple of weeks ago that advised people and had advised several Powerball winners on setting up estates and how to plan and what to do when you saw that you had those numbers. So our listeners can go back and check your podcast, and the little old lady in South Carolina can go listen to your podcast and know exactly what to do.
But also be concerned about safety. You know, someone grab one of your grandkids and say, I want $100 million, or, you know, I mean, I hate to even mention something like that, but that in this day and age, we've seen all the crazy things happen in this country today, and the rhetoric, the controversy, and why not? They'll just show that guy, you know.
Right, and people are besieged with people asking for money once you win. A lot of them desperate. They've got health bills and challenges, and they're just desperate to look for anything. It's very, I think, emotionally taxing. But always, when someone wins a lot of money, there's the inevitable story about these prior winners who mishandled their money, and it ruined their lives. That's the first thing I read when they said, we have a winner, and oh, this man won $350 million, and it ruined his life. And I always think, I sure would be willing to take that risk.
I'll take a chance on not in my life.
I'll take a chance.
Interesting. We'll give a little commentary here that someone sent me about the lottery, if you were trying to win the Mega Millions. And he writes, when panting Mega Millions journalists and... richest nation in the history of the world. They carry handheld computers, have the ability to contact people thousands of miles away in an instant, often at no cost. Those of us of a certain age still remember a time when we changed ribbons in our typewriters and filmed in our cameras, wound our watches, turned pages manually, watched movies in a packed movie theater, played instruments you couldn't plug in, purchased our garb in what they used to call clothing stores, and paid by the minute to talk to our friends on telephones attached to the walls. Miraculous improvements in medicine have significantly extended our lives, relimbed us, reduced our pain, and made merely existence more joyful than it has ever been. For those reasons and 1.6 billion others, I'm passing on the Mega Millions drawing. I won the lottery the day I was born.
Oh,
isn't that nice?
Yeah, that is nice.
That's a nice little story there about sure you pant for that, but for most of us, and there's, as you mentioned, a lot of people need, but for most of us, we live in a good country in spite of all the controversy. We have, hopefully you have a good family situation, and that's about all you really ought to hope for. So, anyway, share that with you. Great other stories. We're talking about good stories. An employee at a Michigan pizza shop that usually does not deliver at all, they didn't make an exception. They had a family that used to come love their pizzas, and then the wife got very ill and had cancer. And so for treatment, she was about 225. Young pizza boy who they talked to got in his car. He was 18-year-old Dalton Schaefer. This is out of Battle Creek, Michigan. He drove 225-mile trip to make the delivery of the pizza because this lady that loved the pizza.
That's an amazing story.
So many great stories out there that don't deal with money, that, you know, where one person's helping somebody else. And in any event.
So it's not just good cereal that comes out of Battle Creek. It's good people, too.
Good people up there, too. And I love this one. An Alabama woman said a man broke into her house and made himself breakfast, took a bath, and washed his clothes.
listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Familiar Evil, the chilling true story by Ronna Gray of the international search for a television personality that exposed his dark side. Winner of 11 National Book Awards, including Best True Crime of 2017. Familiar Evil goes inside the criminal investigation that sent shockwaves from Louisiana to London. Available in hardback and ebook at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Books A Million, with signed copies at FamiliarEvil.com.
How long would you wait for your shower to get hot? How long would you wait for your cell phone to fully charge? How long would you wait to get relief from your nasal congestion? If you're congested now and you want powerful relief now, use Afrin No Drip. Afrin starts working in seconds and keeps working for 12 hours. So, why wait? When you can start to get relief in seconds with Afrin. Afrin, powerful congestion relief without the wait. Use as directed. For more information, go to Afrin.com.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 44055. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 44055. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 44055.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Block It Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockItPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockItPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockItPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Hey, welcome to the Common Sense Show. I'm here with Ronna Gray. We're talking about so much today. Ronna, these elections, you and I like politics, and I was in politics for many, many years. You were with me in a number of offices that we had down in the Bayou State, but I've never seen so many individual challenging stories as I've seen in this election. You go to various states in terms of voter suppression, so many different conflicts that have come out of this present election. We're coming down the wire. Gosh, we've got a week from Tuesday as election date, and there's a lot at stake nationally in terms of who controls the Senate and the House, and there's a great deal at stake on the local level with so many races affecting education. I was watching that Georgia race. Well, Georgia ended up having the first female black governor in our history, and that's very close in terms of the polls. And then all this voter suppression, I don't understand. I was the Secretary of State for 8 years. And, you know, you had a system, and I was the president of the National Secretary of State's Association. Had a close relationship with Republicans and Democrats. We talked about voter fraud, voter integrity. There was never real challenge to the election process. There wasn't much voter fraud. There might be some things where someone would haul a bunch of voters to the polls and then pay them for their vote. But that had nothing to do with the system itself. The voting machines worked fine. We had a paper backup on the old, what we called the shoot voting machines back in the years. You recall that. You
right.
were there with me
right.
back in the 80s. Now all this controversy about picture IDs and voter fraud, President says millions of people in voter fraud, but has offered no evidence. And it seems like that a number of secretaries of state or the elections officials, particularly Republicans, are undertaking a major effort to suppress the vote, to turn out the vote. And I just think that's wrong. Look, make your pitch in the campaign, tell people how you feel, and then let the voters decide. But this is a very strange election to where we've had all these outside pressures on the system, not just on what the candidates believe, but on the system itself. I've never seen anything like this.
I completely agree with you, and specific to the Georgia race, I think they have released an audio recording of the candidate that's the elections officer there that's running for governor, fretting over how many people might be voting. And I thought the same thing. When is a lot of people voting a bad thing? We spend all this money and effort trying to get people to vote. I don't understand the big purge and why, if you've not voted in a couple of years, we're going to take away your right to vote. Why? What harm is it doing for legitimate voters to... Maybe they traveled a lot. Maybe they had illness and didn't vote for a while. Why force them to go back and re-register? It just seems like that's a lot of effort to keep people from voting.
And I can see you might want to clean up the rolls after 15 or 20 years, and there's ways to do that. But if you haven't voted, say, over 20 or 30 years, you know, maybe you've died. Maybe you passed it. Maybe you moved.
Right. And certainly if you register in another place, you're taken off. Death, certainly. If you annually or twice a year want to scan your rolls for death, we certainly don't want people voting from the graveyard. But otherwise, just because you were a lazy voter, I don't know that you should have to be forced to re-register.
You're right on that. And what happens, I've heard some allegations, well, we found examples of people registering in two different states. You know, like some guy's going to vote in Ohio and get in his car and drive to Pennsylvania and vote again, you know, for one vote. I mean, that's just not even believable or realistic. Sure, people are registered in some instances in two states because, say, they're registered here in our home state of Louisiana. Then they move to Georgia and they re-register. Well, they don't think to call up the registrar of voters in Louisiana and say, oh, by the way, I'm moving. Take me off the rolls. Nobody does that.
Right.
And so as a consequence, you may be registered in a couple of different states because you moved. So there's often pretty good explanations for doing this, and it looks like in Kansas, in Georgia, and I think because of all these pressures, there may be a conflict of interest where possibly the Secretary of State should take a leave of absence for the 3 months before the campaign if he or she is on the ballot. And you've got your elections officials and you've got your first assistant. You know, I was the Secretary of State for 8 years. It wasn't a big factor for me. I just didn't think that anybody would accuse me when I was the Secretary of State of trying to influence the voting machines or something like that, you know. If there's the feeling today, the way to deal with that is tell the chief elections officer, if you're running, just take a leave of absence, let your first assistant kind of run the election process, just back away from it.
But I agree with you. There's a lot more discussion now and strategic purging and strategically suppressing certain sectors that now the chief elections officer is looked at. And are they doing anything that might be partisan? You mentioned registering in two places. The president made all this big stink about this, and it ended up that his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, was registered in two different places. I agree with you. I don't think it's reasonable to think that he got in the car and drove and voted twice for his father-in-law. But these things happen, and that's the thing you need to tighten up. People being dead, people being registered in multiple places. But people who are lawfully registered, help these people by making it easier to vote. Easier to register, easier to vote. Longer hours. Why shouldn't we want people to participate in government? That's what this country's about.
The funny story, you know, we've got a colorful history of voting down here. Not so much irregularity at the polls, but hauling voters going back years ago. And we had a notorious governor named Earl Long, and he was quoted often as saying, "Oh, Lord, when I die, please let me be buried in Louisiana so I can stay active in politics."
Some would say the Longs are still active in politics in Louisiana.
No doubt about it.
They've been gone for a long time.
No doubt about it. Well, it's been a controversy, and there ought to be some national standards on elections that are this important. So much is handled nationally, but we allow the elections process to be run by the states. Now, I would say in some states, I'll take our home state of Louisiana, for example. The elections are run by one elections officer so that there is uniformity across the whole state. In other states, for example, in our neighbors over in Mississippi, it's all run on a county-by-county basis. So the voting machines are purchased by county, the ballots are printed by county, and so you have a lot more opportunity for either mistakes or from fraud when you allow a system like that. So that will be looked at after this election, but it's a shame that you have this active participation on the part of some states to suppress the vote. As you said, Ronna, we ought to be encouraging people to vote. And that's another thing. We're not going to have a huge turnout in this election. I've read some statements, for example, where I just can't vote for any of them in good conscience. I don't like the tone of politics. I'm just going to stay away. And that's a concern.
That's a mistake. Right.
And we'll come back and talk to that some more. I'm here with Ronna Gray. This is Jim Brown on the Radio Common Sense Show. Our website is radiocommonsense.com. Let's talk about this caravan when we come back. These thousands of people trying to enter the U.S. Get some perspective for you on this. So freshen up your coffee, and we'll be right back.
Listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
This is the old Cajun contractor Michael King here, host of Home Talk USA. Did you know that you can now shop and purchase online quality name brand tools and accessories at discounted prices from one of the top most visited online hardware stores, The Handy City? That's right. You can now take the hassle of having to go out and purchase these products. Just think, you can now order all of the top name brands from the comfort of your home computer and have it delivered straight to you in most cases. And the shipping is free. All the products are personally endorsed by me and guaranteed 100% by the manufacturer by using our online store. You'll be also helping to keep our popular home improvement radio show on the air. So please check out our website today at TheHandyCity.com. That's TheHandyCity.com. I'll say it again, TheHandyCity.com. Quality products at discount prices straight to you. I have only one thing I can say. Sauce le bon ton roulet. Let the good times roll. Yadi!
Thank you. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
11 people shot and killed at a Pittsburgh synagogue yesterday morning, and with the suspected gunman quickly put into custody, many are talking about how much worse it could have been had it not been for the quick police action. Vice President Mike Pence.
We commend these courageous law enforcement officers for their swift response.
Former FBI profiler Clint Van Zandt says the suspected gunman Robert Bowers appears to be a neo-Nazi based on his social media background, which authorities are poring over.
A social media footprint for investigators is the treasure trove. This is where someone apparently may honestly tell you who they are, what they think.
Police say the suspect in the mail bomb case, who was arrested Friday, was likely building the bombs he was sending in his van. They also say Cesar Sayoc apparently acted alone, and this is USA Radio News.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Every hiring manager knows that a company is only as good as the people it's made from. So where do you find the best people? That may surprise you.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
This is talent worth knowing about.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high, no matter what amount you take. What does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied. But you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com and purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Well, we've been following with interest this huge caravan of migrants that are coming across the Mexican, or coming towards the Mexican border, folks from Guatemala, folks from Honduras, trying to get to the American dream. In some instances, have faced oppression back home. Coming in mass, it's just not a few. We've always had hundreds come in over a week's time, but now we're talking about one caravan, Ron, of I think as many as 8,000-10,000 people.
Up to 14, some say, right.
Coming at the same time. Want to get a perspective on this, about how serious the problem is and what can we do about it if we can. Greg Rodriguez is joining us. He is an immigration attorney located in Dallas. He's a very high-profile attorney there. You can find all about Greg on our website at RadioCommonSense.com, and he specializes in immigration problems. Hey, Greg, welcome to the Common Sense Show today.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Good. We're sorry about that little technical breakup, but we're back on. And you and I were talking a little before, Greg, about this problem, about how to get a handle on it. I mean, I think all Americans want some type of a predictable immigration in this country. We're all immigrants. And,
right.
I think the public opinion has changed. I don't know what you think on this, Greg, but 5 or 6 years ago, there was much more opposition to seeing primarily a Hispanic population coming into various neighborhoods, but all of a sudden businesses are realizing that these are folks who do a lot of jobs that have that are available and fulfilling, and so there's a better acceptance for immigrants coming in from my point of view. But it's a question of how you put it in perspective. What is reasonable when you consider the fact that there are immigrants all over the world that would love to come to America, and how far do we go? Give us your perspective. I was joking with you before saying that the president loves to listen to our Common Sense radio show. If he called you up and said there, hey, Greg, I heard you on Jim Brown's Common Sense show, which I listen to every week. As the president, I'm asking you for some advice. How do we get a handle on dealing with legitimate immigration and now allow this mass attack, is what some people feel like it is, on our border crossings?
Well, I think we've got to get past the idea that comprehensive immigration reform means one of two things. Either, you know, for conservatives, that means, you know, security and only security. For the liberals, it means, you know, amnesty. It really shouldn't mean one or the other. It's got to be a combination of both, and it's got to be comprehensive. We've got to look at all levels and completely rehaul all of our immigration laws. I think that's a key element. I think the other part is we got to use our diplomacy and our aid to deal with situations kind of like the caravan that's coming up, and go into those countries and say, hey, look, you guys got to get your act together. We need, you know, a professional police force. Maybe we offer, you know, training in the United States and try to clean up some of the corruption, try to clean up some of the gang violence that's going on in these countries that are driving these folks to come up to the United States. But until we do that, until we have real hearings where you've got immigrant advocates, you've got folks that deal with security and the business people coming in and saying, here's our needs, here's what we need for our country, we're not going to accomplish that, because right now we seem to kind of stick to extremes. You know, we're talking about building a wall, but, you know, is it really a wall that we need? Or, you know, is there other security that's more effective and will deal with issues at the borders? And, you know, do we look at, you know, our needs for scientists and doctors and nurses, you know, because right now all of that is being affected with policies that are being put in place. We haven't had a major immigration law passed, but the policies that we have not only affect illegal immigration, it's also affecting our legal immigration as well.
I think you're right on. It's just a question that's going to take some leadership. And I think we're kind of dancing around where the buck stops. And, you know, in fact, I checked the United States Code, Title 8, United States Code, Section 1182F. It says, it gives the president the power to suspend the entry of all aliens whenever he finds their entry would be detrimental to the interests of the United States. So it's pretty simple. The buck is there with the president. The president can do or not do about anything he wants. And so in any event, and we've got Republicans talking about some reform. I guess that both parties are talking about reform, but there just is no consensus. Someone's going to take the bull by the horns and build that a consensus, don't they, Greg?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got to look at our, you know, different business needs that we have. You know, a lot of times we think about labor, and that is a need that we have, but there's also high-skilled workers. So it's across the board, you know, our farming industry, our ranching industry. You know, there's a lot that we haven't felt yet, but I'm pretty sure that within the next year or two, we're going to really feel it in our economy and with our businesses.
Yeah, well, I think we all agree on the need. I'll tell you, I'm sitting here broadcasting from a studio in an office I have in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I built an office right next door about 15 years ago. When that office was built, it was a combination of longtime Louisiana residents, some African Americans, some Caucasian, all working from one contractor who had been in business. They'd all been working together for 20 years, you know, and they build the building. I'm building one next door right now, and it's going up fine. It's a wonderful building. But every single employee outside of the contractor is Hispanic. They all speak Hispanic as they're working. I'm over in the building every day. Good guys, thorough workers, first rate. But it kind of shows the comparison where 15 years ago there wasn't one Hispanic on the job, and now it's the whole everyone's Hispanic in terms of that workforce, because apparently someone else just doesn't want to do the work. They're doing a first-rate job. I'm tickled to death. But it just shows you how things have changed in 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, I think after the hurricanes, you guys had a huge influx of Central Americans in New Orleans and Baton Rouge.
No doubt about it. So, well, now tell us the focus of your practice in terms of who comes to you in terms of dealing with immigration issues. Do you ever have any employers that come that are getting harassed by the government because of undocumented workers? Do you have someone who's not an American citizen come to you? What is the focus of your practice, if you don't mind me asking?
So we do a lot of family-based immigration where you've got, a parent petitioning for a child or a spouse, and we've also do removal work, so folks that get in trouble, or folks who are here illegally or facing deportation proceedings, asylum claims, and now we're seeing an uptick on businesses who are facing raids or I-9 audits. And for instance, when you look at Sumner, Texas, I don't know if you guys heard about the trailer load company that got raided brought us out of Paris, Texas. Well, it wasn't just that company. That was probably the biggest employer. But ICE kind of hung around and started hitting all these other companies in the area. These are small communities. So this is a big impact on those communities because, you may be talking in some of these communities so small, you may impact half of the population. And you've got kids who are stuck in school who don't know what's going on with the parents. You got, kids who are living in fear. People don't want to answer their door. So it's not just impacting the employer, but it actually impacts an entire community when those things happen.
Oh, well, it certainly does. And so, I'm calling you Greg. That's a nickname. Did you go by George or Greg?
George. Yeah, usually by George.
I was close. I was close, right? like in horseshoes and hand grenades. If you're close, you're okay, right?
That's right.
Well, George, listen, thank you for the time. And someone's got immigration questions. You're the guy to go to. I think your website, if I remember correctly, is sralawonline.com. All that's on our website at radiocommonsense.com. Hey, have a good day up there in Austin. Good to talk to you. Hope we can talk to you again in the near future.
All right. Y'all take care.
Interesting guy trying to put in perspective a big problem that leadership is going to take to actually solve the problem. Right, Ronna?
Absolutely.
Hey, it's freshen up your coffee. Come on back. We've got a lot more to talk about. We're going to talk. Hey, let's talk about that JFK assassination when we come back, okay?
Well, it never gets old.
Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart and Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Hear that?
That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
After all these years, back to 1963, we still have never put to rest the whole JFK, John F. Kennedy assassination that took place in Dallas, Texas. It's a story that continues to haunt us. Something that we still have not convinced a lot of people that this whole issue has been solved. Christopher Fulton joins me right now. He is a writer. He is an interesting guy who's written a book called The Inheritance, The Poison Fruit of the JFK Assassination. And in his book, Chris talks about the fact that he had evidence that dealt directly with the JFK assassination. And because he would not give up that evidence, he was prosecuted and persecuted by the federal government. I want to talk to him all about it. And his book's on our website at RadioCommonSense.com. Hey there, Christopher. Glad you joined us today in the Common Sense Show.
Good morning. How are you doing, Jim?
We're all doing fine. I'm here with Ronna Gray, and we're fascinated by your book and all you've gone through. You've gone through quite a bit because of your beliefs and what happened. And so let me let you tell you a story. And I guess the questions that I think our audience would be interested in knowing right off the bat is, what evidence did you find? What did you find, number one, and how did you become in possession of it? And then third, what brought about the confrontation with the federal government? Can you enlighten us a little bit on that, Christopher?
Well, I'll try. It was somewhat of a unique position that I was placed in. Basically, Robert Kennedy had become somewhat disempowered immediately after the assassination took place with his brother in Dallas. And during that period, there was an infighting going on between himself and the FBI and the new administration, the Johnson administration. But to make a very, very long story short, he was gathering evidence secretly, and that in his, in the what happened in Dallas. going ahead and trying to control that investigation and subsequently had some pressure put on him by the Russians. As a matter of fact, the Russians actually put some pressure to bear, which came to a conclusion of the Warren Commission happening for the American public. So Robert Kennedy was placed into a very difficult position. He could have acknowledged some of the information that was given to him immediately to the American public, in which case the government would take the position that we had a connection to Cuba and to the Russian government, and subsequently the Russians were on standby to have an exchange with the American government at that particular time. So Robert Kennedy took it upon himself as the first priority is to stop that from happening, which he did covertly at that time, and settled the dust, as it were, and let things proceed. When Oswald, go ahead.
Indictments from people brought by the district attorney named Jim Garrison, who said he had it all figured out, the tie of Oswald to the Russians, and that it was just kind of dismissed by the Warren Commission, and it's always been dismissed by the federal government. So was Robert Kennedy's role to downplay that or to try to bring it out?
That's a great question, and a very difficult one, and I'm sure this one that Robert Kennedy struggled with a great deal. As things were unfolding, he was trying to come to terms with how best to deal with this, and of course he had to do that very covertly. But as it turned out, he decided that it was in the best interest of the country to move forward with the Johnson administration. Now the Russians thought, and this came to me directly from one of their intelligence, the head of their intelligence in Russia, when I met with him in the Kremlin, that they thought that Robert Kennedy, the FBI was concerned that Robert Kennedy might effect another coup and try to take over the United States government, considering the facts that he had at hand. But he decided against that. He did it in a peaceful manner, worked in conjunction with the current administration. And then wanted to emit agreements subsequent that he became a U.S. senator, so he could get out from the position which held no power for him as attorney general. So
I understand. Well, how did you, Christopher, get involved? What drew you into this whole complicated, fascinating story? What brought you into the mix?
Great question. This information was subsequently kept in a kind of a chain of evidence custody through Evelyn Lincoln, which was President Kennedy's personal secretary, and another gentleman that was working in conjunction with Robert Kennedy, which was a Secret Service officer, Robert Balk, who was the head of the Protective Research Section of the White House. So these two individuals were working with Robert Kennedy very closely, and he ran for the White House in 1968, which was something that the Johnson administration and others didn't want him to do, but he took it upon himself with Vietnam going on the way that the country was heading, that he needed to effect the policy changes and get back to the course that was set upon by his brother. So,
and Christopher, we don't have a lot of time. I want to know, how did you get involved?
Well, this information was kept by Evelyn Lincoln. And after Robert Kennedy's death, it went quiet, it went dark. Her instructions were to keep all of this information, the evidence, and the Oval Office recordings, and all these things covert. And when she passed away in 1995, that stuff came out and went into private hands. She did not want that to go under any jurisdiction of the federal government or any agency of the federal government, and that included the National Archives. So this stuff subsequently went to a private citizen and myself. I wound up getting some key evidence that was withheld by Bobby Kennedy in the investigation that he performed on the assassination, which subsequently showed a very different story than what the Warren Commission had come out with.
All right, well, and again, we don't have a ton. What brought your prosecution? Why did you end up in jail over this whole thing? Because you wouldn't make the information available? What was your personal story?
The Assassination Records Review Board was looking into all this. My name appears in the National Archives in relation to that investigation, but the I tried to contact privately the Kennedy family. We were contacted in 96 about this, but we went forward and the information started to go public with Donald Trump that had released or been at the forefront of releasing some of this in 98 in New York. As the stuff started to come forward, the Justice Department decided it was in the best interest to shut this down. I was subsequently working in Vancouver, Canada. They did not want to share this information with the Canadian government. They brought me under tax codes and brought me in and debriefed me without a counsel about all of this information and my meetings with the individuals that I met with and what Reagan had said and what other individuals had said, what the Russians had said, what the Kennedy family had said, and so forth.
Well, what were you charged? Chris, what were you charged with, Christopher?
Structuring to avoid reporting requirements within the United States and bank and credit card fraud that was connected to the same bank institution where I had signed a false statement of income within the United States. So that was utilized to bring me in and to charge me on this basically this kind of a national security concern, and then they subsequently debriefed me and we went from there, and I spent a lot of years in federal prison over this.
Oh, well, that's it. Sorry you go into the book is fascinating. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The book is called The Inheritance, Poison Fruit of JFK's Assassination by Christopher Fulton and Michelle Fulton. And so you've got a lot of facts. There's a lot of information here that I wasn't aware of. I've not seen before, Christopher. You've done a good job.
That's why I wrote the book. You know, the American people don't know anything about this information, and I felt obligated to talk about it. As I'm getting older, I don't want to die with it. I thought it was important for the people that were in part of this along the way. Very good Americans who have died over all of this information, and I thought it was important for me just to get it out. So.
Well, you've done a good job of putting it out, and our listeners can find out more about it on our website at radiocommonsense.com. Hey, and your website, Chris, your website's on there, too, where people can order the book. Listen, thanks for spending some time with us today. It's a fascinating story. I want to dig up some more questions. Give us a little time. I want to get you back on the show again in the future if we can. That be okay?
Very good. And it was nice speaking with you this morning.
Okay, Christopher, take care. Christopher Fulton, interesting guy, The Inheritance. Don't know what you think of it all, but we'll come back and give you a few comments after this break.
We never get tired of the JFK
assassination. That's right, never stops, right. Never stops. Hey, let's take a pause right now. Got our old friend coming back up a little bit. I love England, and I love Victoria Henry. She's a prolific writer. Great book about how to find love in a bookshop. We'll get her on here next and talk a lot more on the Common Sense Show. Fresh Hips Coffee, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Familiar Evil, the chilling true story by Ronna Gray of the international search for a television personality that exposed his dark side. Winner of 11 National Book Awards, including Best True Crime of 2017. Familiar Evil goes inside the criminal investigation that sent shockwaves from Louisiana to London. Available in hardback and ebook at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Books A Million, with signed copies at FamiliarEvil.com.
When I get to about three quarters,
when I get down to the bottom,
a couple more scoops,
it's time to place my order.
Dynavite.com.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a big tube of Doggo Suds free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Doggo Suds shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Doggo Suds
free this week at Dynavite.com.
If it's working, don't quit. Dinovite.com.
Times are changing. The circus of politics, healthcare's low standards and high prices, and let's not forget food quality. What to do? Arm yourself with life-change tea at GetTheTea.com. In a world of chemical imbalance and poor air and water quality, it's time you make a move. Log on to GetTheTea.com and stock up on organic non-GMO supplements. Don't forget the tea. Cleansing your body never felt so good. And we have a brand new tea called Takedown Tea, which helps support healthy glucose. All natural body support so you can be at your best naturally. All you have to do is log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. We're not a fad that comes and goes. We are the real deal. Join us and armor up. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Changing America's health one tea bag at a time.